Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Burger Bounce. It's been a while, but I'm really excited to be back with Series 3. My name is Charlie, and myself and my husband Leo founded and own Steak & Honour, a burger business in Cambridge, UK. We currently have two street food vans, one restaurant, and a hatch at the Tivoli pub in Cambridge. In this series, I'm going to be chatting to some brilliant local women, food bloggers, business owners, and chefs. As a female in the hospitality industry, I think it's really important to hear women's voices and have their stories told. So I was really privileged to be able to spend time with such talented women and listen to some amazing stories about their journey in the hospitality industry. For the first episode, I chat to ex-pediatric nurse turned food blogger Gemma Bradford. Her handle on Instagram is at eatinguplondon. Gemma is a local lass. She grew up in Cambridgeshire before moving to London and has since moved back to Cambridgeshire when she had her daughter quite recently. Since recording this episode, Gemma has had several pieces of her content go viral on Instagram and has recently hit 100,000 followers. So let's wish Gemma a big congratulations. It's quite a feat to get that amount of followers on social media these days. So episode one, I hope you enjoy. Hello, I'm here with Gemma Bradford, a food and travel content creator. Hi, Gemma.
Hello. So
thanks for coming on today. We've obviously been chatting away like I do every single time, but let's get into it. So where did you grow up? What type of things were you eating at home? Who did the cooking? Kind of what were your childhood food memories?
Yeah, so I grew up in St Ives. I have two older brothers and two older sisters, one of which is my identical twin. So I was the youngest of five growing up. And yeah, things were quite busy in our house, quite chaotic at times. But I always have very fond memories of sitting down at the table at dinner time, usually around 5 o'clock. And we'd all sit there and have a chat about our day. And yeah, Mum would kind of make things like spaghetti bolognese, shepherd's pie, roast dinner on a Sunday, that kind of thing.
The sort of classic kind of British cooking.
Fish and chips on a Friday.
Yeah, always fish on Friday.
Yeah, but she was always quite, well, she had to be having five kids, quite organised. Mm-hmm. So she'd do like one shop and then like on a Monday, like plan our meals for the week, which is kind of like what I do now.
have set things on certain days?
I wouldn't say only on a Friday fish and chips and then a roast dinner on a Sunday. My two brothers used to play football on a Sunday morning and my dad used to coach Rangers. So I just remember us all coming in on a Sunday and that smell of roast dinner hit.
Oh, the best.
Yeah. And I think my mum quite enjoyed it. I feel like she always enjoyed being in the kitchen and kind of like serving us food and then us enjoying it. I think she like got pleasure out of doing that, not just for us but for anyone else's kids as well.
Yeah, just to having people around the table.
Yeah. And obviously being in a big family, we were always off doing our own things, after school clubs, stuff like that, so meal times were quite important.
Did you eat, was it you all ate together at a table, no TV?
We had like a kitchen and then diner as well, so not the biggest, but yeah, I just remember us all being around the table. Dad would come in from work, and it'd be like a ritual for us, which is quite nice. Dessert was always big in our family, because my nan was a baker, so there was always some kind of cake floating around.
Wow.
Yeah, and yeah, do you remember Arctic Roll?
Yes.
And like mint Viennetta.
Don't be starting me on the Viennetta. Yes. I still get Viennetta.
I haven't had it in ages.
This is, you know, you can buy it for £1 sometimes on offer.
Really?
And I've recently had mint Viennetta.
Yeah, I need to
Arctic Roll, not so much. We had Arctic Roll as a kid.
Yeah.
It was never my favourite, but Viennetta, it still bangs. It's amazing.
Yeah, I love that. Choc ice we used to have.
Was that like a boring? I feel like choc ice is quite boring, boring pudding.
Yeah, I agree. Mint Viennetta is up there with my favourite. My mum used to make a chocolate crunch, which is what I always remember. It was like some kind of like chocolate cake brownie. It was her speciality on like a Sunday, served with custard. That was so good. But yeah, always dessert.
Even during the week, did you get dessert?
No, we'd probably have like
fruit and yogurt or something.
Yeah, We know. Yeah, I feel like I have to balance out the cake somehow. But yeah, I do remember having fruit. Yeah.
We didn't really have puddings during the week.
No.
And I do this with my kids now, actually. They're like, what's a pudding? And I'm like, it's a Tuesday. There's no pudding. But at the weekend,
it was more like a treat.
Yeah, it was like Friday night and weekends we'd have pudding more regularly. But in the week, it was like, no, you know, not spag bowl, knock yourself out, and then that's
definitely.
It.
Definitely, yeah. And it was like, it was kind of like, finish your dinner and then like have something afterwards kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just because like feeding a family of five.
It's a big task.
Yeah, my dad was at work. Obviously, mum was a stay-at-home mum with us. And being able to afford.
It's a military operation.
It is. And I think that's why my mum had to be organised with shopping and what to get and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that's a real, though people still do it now, obviously, but I think back in the day, it was just so much more common for that.
Yeah.
You know, and to eat everything. Like, my parents would go shopping, and even like my grandmother, and everything would be eaten. So when it was the shopping day, there was literally nothing in the house. And it would always be a Saturday morning for us that they would go. And then you knew that Saturday afternoon, it was like, ooh.
Definitely. And it was always, like, a treat for us. Like, I don't remember eating out loads as a kid. I have memories of, like, being in the McDonald's in Peterborough and, like, the seven of us being there. And us all just kind of like shouting to my mum what our order was and like, can we have one burger without gherkin and without the sauce? And I can just see my mum trying to like remember everything in her head. Yeah, it was just, it was busy, but a good busy.
Yeah, yeah. And what was your favourite thing to eat as a child? Like if your mum was going to, well, either to go out or if your mum was cooking something, was there one dish that you were like,
yes? Like, even now she does it, like a beef casserole with dumplings.
Oh,
like her speciality. Like, I don't know, I will have it somewhere else and it's just not the same.
Yeah.
Like my mum just nails it. And occasionally she'll do it now, like on a Sunday, like in like the winter months. And I'm just like, oh, mum, I love this.
Is it where the dumplings are crispy on the top and salty on the bottom?
Yeah. But I can never, I've tried to do that and it's hard to get them perfect.
Yeah, I think my grandmother used to make something similar. And sometimes she'd even do like herby dumplings. So she'd put I don't even know what herb in. But yeah, really crispy.
Yeah.
And then like soggy dumplings. Mm. Oh yeah, just absolutely delicious.
Yeah, I do really enjoy that.
My mum sometimes makes for my kids like cobbler, which I think is similar to dumpling. But she cooks it like, I think you can put it on top of like mince and gravy. But she cooks them separately, puts them on the plate with like veg. And then gets like a mince meat in gravy and onions. And then pours it over so that it kind of like it's similar to a day they're like kind of goes in and the it's amazing. So I know that you train as a nurse, or you were a nurse, so tell us how you kind of got into nursing and then tell us the transition to becoming a food and travel content creator.
So I trained as a paediatric nurse in Cambridge, and I moved to London when I was 22. And I worked as a paediatric nurse for, I think it was about 8 years, in a couple of different hospitals. And
it must have been tough.
Yeah, it was. It's a job where you don't go in it for the money or anything like that. I found it very rewarding working with children. And I met my husband, Johnny, in London. And we loved eating out and I just thought, what a way to document it than start posting pictures of my food. And this was in 2016, so I think it was like a couple of years after being in London. And after work, we used to meet up, go to different restaurants. Mm. So that started.
So, and it was called you on Instagram only, is that where you started?
Yeah, so I just started on Instagram, Eating Up London, and yeah, so every time I ate out in a restaurant, I just used to post about it. Mm-hmm. But I just started it as a hobby. Like, I didn't think it was going to, like, grow into anything more than that. So I was doing that alongside my nursing for a few years. I took a band 6 role, so a senior role with my paediatric nursing. And I was having more bad days than good. And I was in charge of a unit, and there was basically more. The nurse to patient ratio was like very high. So I used to just like leave work feeling like my day was just so rushed and I couldn't spend enough time with patients and their families. And I don't know, it just wasn't a very nice feeling.
Like, how you felt before when it was really rewarding just wasn't, yeah, it just wasn't the
I
same.
Think taking that senior role, obviously I was in charge of people and I was ultimately responsible for that unit.
Yeah.
So like some days were just so unsafe because there wasn't enough staff. Mm. And it was just such a shame because there was just lack of support there. Mm-hmm. I think if I had like a really good management that was like listened and kind of took that on board, then things would have been differently. But it was, towards the end, I was just not feeling great.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I was umming and ahhing for a year because I started to earn money through my Instagram and I was working with brands.
When did that start happening? Did you have a certain amount of followers and then you would get, like brands would come to you?
Yeah, so it was probably at around 30,000 followers.
That's mad, that's a lot of followers. So was it just kind of like, did it happen quite slowly? Were you just posting?
I've been doing it since 2016, so it has taken a while to build an audience. You have to be like quite passionate about it,
yeah,
in order to get there, but also you want to attract the right audience as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, now I've got around 48,000 followers, and 30% are London based, so I have quite a huge London based following. But in terms of brand campaigns, a brand would contact me with a brief. So in January I had like my dream campaign. It was with Tabasco and Gusto, the recipe delivery box, and for me, like, I love Tabasco. I use it like all the time, and me and Johnny have been like regular customers for Gusto for ages. So when that brief came in, I was just like so happy because I was like, that couldn't align with me more.
Yeah.
The brands that I work with like are such a good fit for me, and yeah, I have been contacted by brands before that haven't quite aligned with like.
And is that important to you?
It really is. Yeah, it is. And so a brand would contact me with a brief, and then I would go back to them with my ideas, and we kind of work together on like a final content that I mm-hmm. would then produce.
And then it needs to go, do they then okay it before that you can then put it up and share
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so they usually say like two rounds if needed.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, we'd go back and forth and then we'd agree like on a date to post.
And what are the best bits? What do you enjoy most?
It's nice now having the flexibility of it. I've been able to spend time with my daughter Martha,
yeah,
alongside doing my work as well, because if she was having like a 2 hour sleep in the afternoon, I could then work on some stuff at home.
Yeah.
So that's been really nice. And now she's a little bit older, she'll go to nursery on a Monday and a Wednesday, and I can plan my work around that.
Yeah.
Where if I was in nursing, I'd be doing kind of long days, nights. So I am really grateful that I've been able to
get like a bit about balance, basically. Yeah.
And I just love creating the content. Like, I actually really enjoy like having an image in my head and then like going to a restaurant and taking photos, videos. But there's a lot more to it than just taking a photo.
Mm-hmm. You think that's kind of a bit of misinformation that people just think, oh, all you're doing is just going, yeah, turning up and like having a free meal, yeah, and then taking a snap and then that's,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, which there's a lot more to it than that. You've got like the captions, the hashtags, the editing, the photo editing, Instagram stories, the reels. Like, reels take ages to do.
Yeah.
Putting all the reels together and then doing all the writing and stuff. Like, can't take me up to 2 hours just to do one.
Easily. Reels are really time consuming.
Yeah, they are.
And that's where it's at now.
Yeah.
So you have to do
exactly.
them because that's kind of where social media is. It's
yeah.
very much with like video kind of work,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But in terms of like restaurants, like, I have a list of restaurants in London that I do like genuinely want to visit, so I get invited to restaurants, and if I really like the sound of the restaurant and the menu, I will go.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also restaurants I go to that because I just want to visit, if that
yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I do get a fair few. I probably get around 50 to 60 invites a week, which I'm like really grateful for.
Yeah.
But I don't know, I also I want to visit restaurants because I want...
Yeah, so the same kind of ethos there as when it started.
Yeah.
To document places that you want to go to eat.
Exactly.
To show people, this is really great and this is what I had, but you're not just going to, a new cafe Nero opening or whatever it might be.
Definitely.
Yeah, which I think is important. And that comes through, I think, in the content as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think because my time is quite limited now, I want to make that worthwhile.
Yeah.
Because I have to value my time as well.
Yeah.
But also... and a living from it as well.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely. What do you think's the worst bits about being a content creator at the moment? Or something that you've noticed recently, that wasn't there when you started and then there now is?
I don't know. I feel like everyone gets it at some point in their life, but sometimes it's the comparing, the imposter syndrome is there for me sometimes.
Yeah.
The Instagram algorithm, you could be posting regular content and it's being shown to a small proportion of your audience, and you can get in that cycle of why is my content
what's the point? I'm putting all this effort in and nothing's been seen.
Exactly. So that can be something that I get into, but I do try and get myself out of that quite quickly. And I have had content that has done really well.
Yeah, I mean, recently you had a reel that's hit over 1.3 million views.
Yeah.
And it's can you call that?
You can't.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, you just have to keep posting. I try not to think about it too much because I'm I just want to enjoy posting what I enjoy posting about, and hopefully my audience will seeing it as well.
Yeah.
I don't know, sometimes I've been asked on press trips and I'm why are they inviting me? I went to Cannes Film Festival with Mouton Cadet, which is a Bordeaux wine brand.
Wow.
And it was such an amazing opportunity. I literally walked the Cannes Film Festival red carpet and I'm just
that's mad.
Yeah, yeah. But in my head I was why have they asked me to go? But I'm they've asked me to go for a reason.
Yeah.
So I just have to remind myself that. Another negative. I guess working in a team, because obviously...
Working on your own can be kind of tough at times.
Definitely. But I am quite good at motivating myself. I'll have a plan of what I want to do on those days. So I'm going into London tomorrow. I know that I have to film three bits of content because I tend to do it on set days. And then that would be my content for the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But I've met friends through the industry, which has been good. You can bounce ideas off each other, but I'd say that's a negative, just having that kind of team environment,
because it's definitely better when you're having people to bounce things off.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I'm thinking of doing this but I'm not sure, and someone can just have one comment and it'll make you think about something different way.
Exactly.
So it can be it can be tricky, and to keep things original as well, so that you're doing your thing and not kind of looking too hard at what other people are doing.
I think that's really important, because you can be compare yourself to others, but I don't know, I'm just focusing on what I enjoy.
Stay in your lane, do your thing,
and then hopefully my audience will enjoy that too.
Yeah, exactly.
And I do get lovely messages from people saying, I went here on your recommendation, and I love hearing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I look at your page and it does make me want to go to most of the places that you go to.
There's some good places on there.
And we were talking just briefly earlier about your travel guides on your highlights, which are phenomenal.
Yeah.
And they just make you want to go on holidays. You did a Santorini one, didn't you?
Yeah.
And I really want to go to Santorini. I've never been. And I was looking at that and it just made me want to go even more. I think they're so good to have there for people that are quick and easy, I'm going on a city break, I'm going here. And then you've got it all there for them.
Yeah. Because that's what I do when I go away. I'm looking for other people's recommendations. Yeah. So when I go to a city or a new place, I basically just eat around that place. That's what I do. I just plan my trip around food. Whether it's finding the best restaurants, best coffees, bakeries, cocktail bars.
Because I think if you Google stuff, I mean, I would I mean, I wouldn't really, because I just think you're just going to get all of the touristy stuff or the stuff. If you're following someone on social media who you kind of like feel like you align with and feel like you, like, well, they seem really nice, where are they going? Because you know that the places that, that you're going to go to are going to kind of, I'm going to like this place. And I think that's what's so good about it. It's just like a go-to, like one stop, like, right, where are you going? And, you know, you can literally just do it, your trip through the, you know, all the places.
And that's sometimes I go through my favourite food bloggers and do the same.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm trying to think of my city guide. So, yeah, my favourites, like Santorini, San Sebastian, Barcelona, Lisbon, Copenhagen, I absolutely love. So, yeah, they're all... I'm just in the transition of putting my guides on my Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of going to my blog, you can just go on the guide bit on Instagram and see all the places that I've recommended.
I think it's so, such a good tool. I think it's just so handy for anyone. I mean, your profile's public, anyone can see it, but also if your followers, to give them some ideas of where they want to go. I think it's great, really, really good.
And I, as I say, I have had messages being like, oh, I've been here when I've been to a certain city. And yeah, I love hearing that.
Sharing the love, sharing the food, love. Definitely. Yeah, it's great. So whereabouts do you love eating at the moment? Like locally and in London, have you got some spots that you're like, this is great at the moment?
So locally, Cambridge-wise, because that's the nearest city to me, 196.
Oh yeah, love 196. Love 196.
Yeah, I only discovered it literally a couple of years ago. And yeah, I love that. For cocktails.
What's your cocktail? What's your go-to?
Oh, I love a mojito, espresso martini.
Mm.
Yeah. But I just love it. It's so casual in there. You just can just really chill and...
Yeah, it's great. And in the summer, they have the seats all outside, so you can sit on the street. Yeah, I love it there.
So usually if I'm going there, I then go to Fansets after.
That to me, is literally the perfect evening.
Yeah, same.
196, trot down to Fansets, happy days.
Definitely.
It's such...
And maybe trot back afterwards.
Yeah, great. A great night.
Yeah.
You know the food's going to be amazing at Fansets. The cocktails are amazing at 196. Yeah, perfect.
Of course, Steak and Honour. Burgers. I remember having your kit during lockdown.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that. Bold Brothers for coffee.
Yeah.
And...
I'm not a big coffee drinker, but they always come out on top when people talk about Cambridge and coffee. They're always the one.
I think that's it for Cambridge. And then in London, definitely Barrafina for tapas.
Have you not? No.
I think you'd like it.
Oof. I'm going to be writing all these down. Okay,
yeah, so. I love like Barrafina, just sitting at the bar, ordering tapas with a nice bottle of white wine is a dream.
Yeah, sounds gorgeous.
I've been to Lisboeta recently, mm-hmm. which is a Portuguese restaurant down Charlotte Street, and that was phenomenal. Like, the best Portuguese food I've ever had. And, yeah, just sat in there for hours and basically just tried the whole menu.
Oh, that's one of my favourite things to do, though. You haven't got anywhere else to be,
And me and my friend, like, every single dish was just, like, perfection. And... I feel like the staff really make it as well. The staff were just lovely. And the owner, Nuno Mendes, was in there, the chef.
Oh, it's a Nuno Mendes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
and
cool.
He was lovely too. So yeah, I'd really recommend
What's that called?
Lisboeta. In terms of bakeries in London, definitely Popham's Bakery.
I've seen that you go quite a lot. Like, I feel like that's something when I look at your feed, it's like, she's in Popham's again.
Do you know
but
what,
But it
though?
Is so nice. It's so lovely.
It is. I dread to think how many bacon and maple swirls I've
had. They are the one. They're the one. Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
I love them so much. But because it's in East London, I sometimes on a Sunday will say to Johnny, let's just go to East London. We park up. And it's right near London Fields.
Yeah.
Like, we'll go to the park with Martha for a few hours, go to Broadway Market.
Oh, and just dreamy. What a morning.
I know, and go to Popham's. And Martha loves the pastries too.
Like a mother.
Yeah. And Fortitude Bakehouse as well.
Okay, where's that?
That's in Bloomsbury. And yeah, they do the most insane pastries there. And yeah, I can never go and just order one though. Like,
no, because you've got to get a couple, maybe a savoury and a sweet, and then like share them. And, yeah, you know, yeah, that's the law, right?
Definitely a savoury and a sweet.
What about brunch?
Oh yeah, brunch.
Because I feel like, I mean, we all like a bit of brunch.
Yeah, so brunch wise, I love a Curo Eatery in Notting Hill and Zatar down Carnaby Street. So Zatar is like a Turkish restaurant.
Yeah.
But their Turkish breakfast is just like a nice alternative to your eggs and avo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they just bring out, they just keep bringing out these little dishes of like picky little Turkish, yeah, so cheese, ham, bread, olives, dips.
Delicious.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed that. And Curo Eatery, they, the best French toast I've ever had.
Wow.
That's a big statement.
Wow.
Like, I've had a lot of French toast. but yeah, it's just so big and fluffy and it literally just melts in your mouth.
I love, I've been to Manchester a couple of times over the last year. And there's a place in Manchester called Federal, like I think it's Bar Federal, right?
Yes.
And their French toast is insane, and it's so good. And me and my friend went last year, and we had a savoury breakfast each, and then we ordered French toast for the table.
Nice.
And it was the best French toast I've ever had, and it was so thick and delicious. And I follow them on Instagram, and whenever I see they put like a new variation of French toast up, I just tag my friend in. It's like, can we go back to Manchester, please? Because the French, it was just amazing.
Yeah, I remember it being really good there.
With cream and like just, yeah, it's, I think it's like an, it's got Australian links.
Yeah, it is.
Because they have like Milo. We had chocolate milk there. And so we had that, and I think I had steak and eggs. And then we had it was just amazing, absolutely amazing.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah.
I love brunch. On the weekends, I don't know, if it was between a roast and brunch, it would definitely be brunch.
Would it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. You see, I'd probably go roast. I love a roast.
I do love roast too. Brunch and a roast would be.
A brunch and then a late roast.
Yeah.
So about five. Yeah. 4 or 5 roast and then like a 10, 11 brunch.
Yeah.
That's it. Perfect Sunday.
Definitely. For roast in London, I'd probably say Fallow near Piccadilly. They do an epic roast.
Because I feel like roast is like a funny one because it can be really bad. And lots of places you go, it's really bad. And you're like, I could do this at home so much better.
Yeah.
And when you find somewhere that's really good, it's like, right, okay, we got to...
Definitely.
We've got to remember this place because it's so easy to find a bad roast.
Yeah, and I think sometimes you pay for what you get in terms of roast. Like, I know, like, some roasts in London are, like, over £20, but sometimes you don't mind paying it if you know you're going to get, like, good quality.
Yeah, really
like,
good meat or really good beef. Amazing sides. Because, you know, I want to have the cauliflower cheese. Yeah. I love sweet and carrot mash.
Yeah.
Which I just thought was called sweet and carrot mash. Yeah. And then I saw it on the menu somewhere and it was called Clapshot.
Oh.
And I was like, is that, it has a name.
Oh, I apparently never knew that.
No, I didn't. Oh. But like stuff that you don't always see on the menu, like sweet and carrot mash or something that I'm like, oh, I like that. It's not just your usual kind of peas, carrots and that sort of thing. And I love a roast chicken. I love bread sauce.
I'm not a fan.
Oh my goodness me. I love it so much. I just love it so much. And like in our family, like my dad loves it. Like I love it.
Was that a staple growing up and having that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. So my dad is a really good cook.
Yeah.
Well, my mum and dad both are good. My dad trained as a chef back in the 60s and he did like a lot of weekend cooking.
Yeah.
So he was always one of these people that was like, you can only have certain condiments with certain meat.
Okay.
So we'd never have Yorkshire puddings with anything other than beef.
Okay.
Even though I love a Yorkshire pudding.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it now. Leo, to be honest though, Leo wouldn't either. Leo wouldn't do Yorkshire's with a chicken. But I mean, I would like that, but he still wouldn't. But so with chicken, we'd always have bread sauce.
Yeah.
And stuffing. But we don't have stuffing with lamb or beef. Yeah. You only have it with pork and chicken and turkey. So he was really kind of, you know, pernickety about those sort of things, and I just love bread sauce. So if I go, and it's rare sometimes that you find it on a menu, if I go in to have a roast and I look at the menu and they've got chicken on and it's got bread sauce, I'm having it.
Yeah,
because I just think like, yeah,
perhaps I need to give it another go.
I'm not like really precious about it. Yeah. We don't make it from scratch. No. I'm quite happy with a like Coleman's packet.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely fine with that. And then we put it in a bowl and put a massive lump of butter on the top, and then the butter all like oozes and you get this like butter. Don't, I'm salivating. I just love bread sauce so much. So I think when you see kind of like different things like that on the menu, we love Provenance in Whittlesford.
Oh, I haven't been there yet. Oh. But my friend goes on about it all the time.
You need to go. It's amazing. And the meat's amazing. It's all cooked over fire and it tastes great.
Oh, wow.
But you should go for the collie cheese because it is an entire head of cauliflower with cheese, like with the sauce poured all over it.
Oh,
and
nice.
Then like bread-crumbed top.
Nice.
And it is phenomenal. So if you just go for the collie cheese, it's amazing.
Will. I'll definitely check it out. I do love a truffle cauliflower cheese.
Ooh.
I sometimes see that on the menu and I'm like, oh.
Are you a truffle person?
Yes, I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I like truffle.
But my husband, Johnny, doesn't.
Yeah,
and
he is not a fan.
Like, even if I'm eating it and he's sitting next to me, he just can't deal with the strong, because it's quite
earthy.
It's quite a strong smell. And those crisps as well that I absolutely love.
The ones that Lucas sells.
Yeah.
Is it Torres? Yeah.
The truffle crisps. He's literally sitting opposite me in the other side of the room because he just can't handle it. That's probably the one thing that, he doesn't like.
So we're going to get to the last question, which is what we're here for. Well, firstly, are you a burger kind of gal? Do you like burgers?
I love burgers.
Great, so we're on the right, fantastic. So we're here, it's good. And so where's the best burger you've ever eaten? Where was it? When was it? Who were you with? Like, set the scene.
Yeah.
And what was in it? And you can have more than one.
Yeah.
So
in London, it's Honest Burger for me. I know that sounds really generic because there's so many of them now, but when I first moved to London, me and Johnny, my boyfriend at the time, were living in Clapham, and it was the only Honest Burger open in Brixton Village Market.
I remember that, we went to that.
And we went there, it was my first Honest Burger, and I just loved it. It's affordable, the burgers are so tasty. I always go for the Honest, which is burger, bacon, cheese, gherkin, a little bit of sauce, I think. With sea salted rosemary chips, and I just think, I don't know.
It's not
too messy either.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I've never really had a bad one. I just know that if I'm in London, that's my go-to for a burger. And if somebody asks me, I'm like, what's not to love? But there's quite a few now. They're everywhere.
Yeah. They've grown really big.
They have grown really big, which kind of, I don't know, which is kind of good, but kind of like, I don't know.
I think as well, it's that time that you remember going, you know, when they had that first outlet, and it's the nostalgia link with it, and it's the good times you had
Definitely.
There, and there's always that element to food, isn't there, where you have those kind of connections.
Yeah. I can literally like picture it now, like Brixton Village is still there, yeah. I do love a steak and honour in our local village where we live. The van comes like every couple of weeks, and when Johnny's at golf sometimes, I go down there for a sneaky steak and honour.
What's your go-to burger for one of our burgers?
It would just be the cheese and bacon.
Cheese and bacon, it's good.
Yeah
classic.
It is. And then for like a hungover burger in London, I'd probably go like Meat Liquor.
Yeah.
But I have to be like,
yeah, because they
want that like messiness and
yeah, definitely.
Like, grease, if you know.
I feel like the Meat Liquors is a bit like the OG. Like they were. I remember them. We went to the one. It's not there anymore. On Wimpole Street, behind Oxford Street, where there was a car park.
Do you know they
pulled the like real cool 70s car park? It's
anymore?
Not there anymore.
Oh.
They pulled the whole thing down. But I remember we went there, and it was before we had kids, and it was the whole experience was amazing.
Yeah.
Because it was nothing like I'd ever come across.
Yeah.
The whole restaurant, the whole experience was
Definitely.
Just mad. It was like going into a club.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what burger it was I ate, but I remember it being Really amazing. Good. Yeah.
And they do those fried, they used to do the fried gherkins and the blue cheese dip.
Yeah.
Which was, yeah. I'm not sure whether it's still there, but in Angel, they used to have a meat liquor, like quite hidden, like off the street. And I used to go to that one a few times. But I do love burgers. Yeah. I have quite a few. And if I don't, I'm always craving one.
That's great. So yeah. On that note, we'll leave that there. Yeah. Thanks so much for coming on, Gemma.
That's okay. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's a pleasure. Follow Gemma on Instagram, Eating Up London.
Yeah.
Just all one word?
Yeah, all one word.
Honestly, the travel guides are really, really good. I really highly recommend everyone going to check those out. If you're going in Europe somewhere, they're so good. And I've written a list of places that you've said in London that I'll be definitely going to visit.
Yeah, let me know if you go to them.
And if you go to any of these places, tag Gemma in so that she can see that you're going, because I love the fact that you get so much pleasure out of that as well. It's so sweet.
Makes me happy.
There we go. Yeah. Lovely. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. Another great episode. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again soon for another episode of Burger Bants. Just to let you know, we've had some incredible past guests on Series 1 and Series 2. So if you haven't yet had a listen, go and check those episodes out. If you fancy grabbing a burger this week, our vans are parking up in and around Cambridge. Head to our socials at Steak and Honour for our full pitch schedule. We also have a restaurant on Wheeler Street in central Cambridge, right next to the Corn Exchange, with seating and a banging selection of local beers. Plus, you can find us serving at the Tivoli on Cheston Road 7 days a week. To stay up to date with all our news and offers, head to our website, steakandhonour.co.uk, and sign up to our newsletter.